and he's my wheel in the middle.
Jesus is my rock. my rock. My rock, my sword, and shield. Amen. Thank God. Man, thank God for that song. Thank God for everything that has taken part thus far in this service. Amen. Thank God for this choir. It sounds like there's 100 of them back there behind me. But to God be the glory. Thank God for all of our mothers that pressed their way to make it out, even through the rain. Amen. We thank God for you as well. Those of you that have your Bibles, if you could turn your attention to the book of 1 Peter. And the first chapter. And we're going to begin reading in the third verse. First Peter chapter 1. Beginning at the third verse. And it reads as thus, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord in Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again to a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that's temptations and suffering and persecution that they were going through, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory of the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love, and whom though you now see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And if you could turn over to the third chapter, 1 Peter 3:15. Now, first chapter is our text, but I just want to add a verse on to it. 3:15 says, but sanctify the Lord in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Amen. Let us pray. Most gracious and eternal Father God, we thank you. We bless and we praise your name. God, you're worthy. You're awesome. Oh God, our lives belong to you. You are our everything. The very air that we breathe, the cells running through our body and the blood running through our veins. God, it's because of you. We're made in your likeness and we're made in your image. That God, that you might live your life through us unto good works, that people will see you, that people will see hope in Christ in a hopeless and a desperate world that does not know you, oh God. We pray, oh God, even right now, that you overwhelm our hearts with your love, that your word will sink through, that it will sink in, oh God, even unto conviction in the areas of our lives that do not line up with you. God, I have no business even standing here to try and do anything. But God, I must decrease that you will increase. Crucify my very flesh that I won't speak out of me. But God, that you will have your way. God, we break my heart to what you have to say. Oh God, you said we're living in the last and evil days. And you said the day you hear my voice, harden not your heart. So God, you're speaking in this place. You're speaking in this world, calling us out of darkness into your marvelous light. Go with me, be with me, cover me and keep me, and set the atmosphere in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, 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 amen. Y'all, we are continuing on the same theme that we've been had in November, and that is that Christ may be glorified. That Christ may be glorified, but if we could give it a subtitle, amen, a faith refined by the fire. Amen. Our faith refined by the fire. And so I just thank God, man. The Lord did not leave us alone for this text or for this theme that we've been dealing with even last month, going through the month, that Christ may be glorified, that he may be exalted, that he may be lifted up. And we've been hearing it all month. We've been hearing it on Bible study. Thank God for Reverend Williams last week, who just preached, stood flat-footed and preached. Amen. Dealing with this same subject, the substitutionary life of Christ in us. And we thank God, man, for this text in Peter. And Peter was encouraging those that had been going through persecution, going through temptation, going through tests, going through trials under Nero, who was persecuting the church and persecuting Christians everywhere. Amen. And when we look at this text and when we look at his word and the encouragement that we have, he was encouraging us through the living hope, the hope that lives within. And because we have this hope, we know that we have this treasure, an earthen vessel, that the excellency of that power is of God and out of us. Amen. Man, and I thank God. Look, I thank God for this passage. And I thank God. God is still speaking. We live in a world. Listen, God is still speaking to us. All of us. But the question is, are you in a position to hear him? Or do you want to hear him? Do you want to hear what God has to say about you? Do you want to hear what God has to say about your heart? Or are you running and ripping enough that you don't take the time to meditate and to hear what God has to say to you? And I just thank God, man, because he's continued to show me myself. He's continuing to show me the very mirror of my stuff that I might further conform to the likeness of his image. Amen. That and we heard it, man, that God's life may be glorified through me, that he will bring glory through me back to himself. And when we look at this word glory, glory is the highest possible honor and just esteem, exaltation that we can give God. And not only does God gain glory or get glory, but God is the very definition of glory. Glory is the sum total of all that God is. And glory is the sum total of all that God does. When we were born, the natural birth, y'all know man has a glory. Man has a glory. But our glory is fading. Our glory is temporal. And that's why the Bible says in 1 Peter 24, for the flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but it's the word of God that's going to stand forever. And that's why we got to know, guess what? Our bodies can't afford us a home much longer. And when I seen Jimmy Carter being rolled in to his wife's funeral service, I said, God bless him. Amen. Just looking at him, he had his mouth open. And just looking at him, and they said he was on hospice. Do you know that God only promises us 3 and 10? And if by reason of the strength, amen, he blessed us with more than that. Amen. Those days are full of trouble. Yeah. Don't say exactly like that. And listen, and you can tell the older we get, we're not going to be here forever. Amen. We're not. And these bodies will let you know that we have that when this earthen vessel of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made by hands. So although we die and our bodies, our earthly bodies, go back to the ground, the spirit of Christ lives on in us. And the Bible says only what you do for Christ is going to last. And guess what? And what that is Christ working his life through me is going to last. Everything else is going to burn up. Everything up is going to fade. Amen. And we try to keep ourselves looking young, and they have so many infomercials and think it's a $1 trillion business trying to find the answers. Cindy Crawford and those on TV with this stuff to keep us looking younger. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die. And after that, the what? The judgment. We, guess what? We're all going to leave here one way or another. Whether it's the undertaker, amen, or whether it's the rapture, where we'll be raptured up. And I'm telling you, man, your bodies will tell on you. My knees will tell on me. Amen. Hey, feel like sometime, boy, and I just, all of a sudden, it's like I hit 51 and bam. Man, you just feel like something grinding in there. Like my knees are shifting gears. Amen. But it just reminds me that guess what? These bodies can't afford us a home. And that, guess what? We ought to give God glory through our lives. Because guess what? Although the outward man is perishing, the inward man ought to be renewed, what? Day by day. We've got to know that. And it's the substitutionary life of Christ that must live his life through us. And to know that God is most glorified when I'm most satisfied in Christ. And so we see that here in this text. And the highest glory that can be maintained by man is through the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ. That's our death and submission to this word of God. And we're going to get there later on. Amen. Because we need to know that the Bible says in 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And this is what the Bible says, and the world passes away. Y'all, this world is passing away. This world is destined for the lake of fire. Amen. And all the things we do outside of Christ, guess what? It's going to burn up like smoke. Amen. And that's why John could say, but I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Right? For the first heaven and the first earth were what? Passed away. And there was no more sea. Amen. It's passing away. This world is fleeting. The lust thereof is fleeting. All the money that we can gain on this world, all the education, the cars, the sensuality, the sex, and the stuff, and the dopamine, and the fentanyl, and the drugs, these things are fading. They're passing away, and it's going to burn forever. But thank God, our spirits will live on. Our souls will live on. The Bible says, what does it profit a man to gain the whole wide world and lose his very soul? Like the Pittsburgh Steelers fan that decorated his home. Somebody did it for him, I guess, because he couldn't do it. The casket, the funeral home, and everything. And he was sitting up. They put shades on him with a beer in his hand like he was watching the game. And he was dead. You listen, there's nothing we can take with us. There's nothing I can have or possess that I can take with me when I leave this world. Amen. And you see people trying to fulfill and satisfy an insatiable longing and ache. But they can't do it. They can't do it. They can't do it. Amen. Solomon tried to do it, but he couldn't do it. And we got to know all this vanity and vexation of the world, of the spirit. The more vexing this world is, like a gerbil in the cage, and we see people losing their minds to try to fulfill and satisfy something that only Jesus Christ can. I thank God, I know him, amen, to be the lover of my soul. I know him to be my satisfier, amen. I know him to be my sustainer, my keeper, the very lifter of my head. That's why I'm going to bless him. I'm going to praise him. I'm going to serve him. I'm going to let a dying world know that Jesus Christ saves. He's the only one. And I thank God, amen, even before we get to heaven, he's given us the most rewarding, fulfilling, satisfying relationship that anybody can ever have. Man, I love my wife to death, amen. But guess what? She can't satisfy me like Jesus can. And I want to say to the people that are not married, being single is not a curse. And being married is not the solution. Amen. Somebody got married thinking, man, this is it. And guess what? After that honeymoon, after a couple months, and the bills hit and the stuff started happening, they soon found out it's a relationship. He's got to be the number one. And guess what? We were crazy in the world, and I'm crazy in the church, letting a dying world know about Jesus Christ. Amen. He's the lover of my soul. Seriously. Can't nobody do you like Jesus. Can't nobody do you like the world. And I'm telling you, and people hop from, and that's why marijuana, you smell it in everywhere. Weed, you're smelling it everywhere. And one drug takes you to another drug, and that's like an introductory drug. And you can go, amen, and I read where the dopamine level, like ecstasy, it takes you so high. But the higher those things take you, the higher the level of the dopamine, the greater the crash. And so you become in this vicious cycle, trying to get out. And the only way out is to surrender your life to Jesus Christ and say, God, I can't. But you can. I'm telling you. Amen. And that's what he talks about. Joy unspeakable. Amen. That's what he talks about here. The Bible says, listen, the Bible says, when we talk about in this world passes away, 1 John 5:12, turn me down if you have to, just a little bit. 1 John 5:12 says, he who has the Son has life. But he that does not have the Son does not have life. And that was our sports camp of scripture that we made all the children memorize it. And ain't that the truth? People think they have life. Amen. The Bible says in John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. The wrath of God is over his head. Amen. And guess what, y'all? If it's going to save your soul, I know it might sound mean, but we got to preach what the Word of God says. That if you don't know Jesus Christ, you are a dead man walking. You're dead. While you live, you're dead. You're dead. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were what? Dead. Yet shall he live again. Amen. You're dead. For by grace are we saved through faith. Not of ourselves, but it's the gift of God that brings us eternal life. And some people think they're the life of the party. They think they're living their best life. And when the man told the ghost, he said, I see dead people. We're dead while we live. Amen. And then somebody tell you to go get a life. They have no idea Jesus is my life. He's got to be your life. He's got to be your everything. He's got to be your all. But see, this is the trick, y'all. The devil, and we're going to be dealing with this stuff in Thessalonians. The devil has bamboozled our minds to get us to trace, to chase these things. Right? And like we'll one day get to the bottom of the rainbow of the pot of gold. But guess what? That day will never come. We've got to know that. And guess what? People are hoodwinked. People are put in trances. And guess what? If he can keep, and that's why the Bible says, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Whom the what? God of this world has blinded the minds that they should gloriously see the light of the gospel. It's the gospel message. It's the gospel message. That's why Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power unto salvation to the Jew first and also the Greek. It's the gospel that was preached to the Ethiopian. Amen. It's the gospel that opens up the blind minds. It's the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We need the gospel. And more importantly than been preaching the gospel, guess what? We've got to live a gospel. And that means that you've been replaced. How many have been replaced? Amen. You've been replaced. Amen. Thank God. The Bible says, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it what? Dies, it brings forth much fruit. And we're searching for our best life. And I'm telling you, man, listen, the older I get, I'm here to tell you that day will never come. The best life that I have when God exposes me and shows me the mirror of my heart that I can confess and give them things to him. That's the greatest joy that I have, a joy where I'm changed from glory to glory, being changed into the image of him. That's my best fulfillment. But man, we say, man, what are them preachers preaching about up there? Death and submission and surrender and dying, because you can't get there from here. I'm telling you, the joy that I have, the world can't give it to you. And the world can't take it away. Amen. We don't sorrow like those who have no hope. And guess what, y'all? That's not just for a funeral. But this is for life. 1 Peter 3:15 says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you for a reason of the hope that is in you. And guess what, man? Those of us who know Jesus Christ that are dying daily to self, that their lives are being replaced, guess what? We are a living hope to the world that the world can see. Man, we spend so much time in these four walls. And thank God, man, thank God, because we need instruction. We need fellowship. We need the word of God. But it's not so much how much you're living in here, but how are you living out there? People ought to see life in you. They ought to see a distinction in you. They ought to see a difference in you. That those that are going, even the smoke, that their clothes are going into hell, that you'll pull them out. Not that you're pulling them out, but the Christ in you can be a witness. Because one can chase 1,000. And two can put 10,000 to a flight. Somebody could be going through, just a terrible storm or contemplating suicide. And guess what? Your light might be the only light that they see. That you can witness to them. That you can bring them to Jesus Christ. I'm telling you. Amen. And so the first point that I have is, when the Bible says we greatly rejoice, before I give the point, verse 5 says, who are kept by power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice. Though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness. You are in sufferings. Amen. And so let me just back up a little bit before I give that point. When the Bible says, blessed be the God, back to verse 3, of our Father, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy have begotten us again. That just means born again. Unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Amen. And listen, we're saved by his life. We're saved by his death. We're saved by his burial. But more importantly, if it had not been for the resurrection, we would be like men most miserable. But the fact of the matter is, because he got up from the dead, guess what? He was risen on high, and he sits at the right hand of God. We're saved by his life. We're saved by his life. Amen. Born again. Guess what? And Jesus couldn't wait to go away. He could not wait. John 14, 15, and 16, he could not wait. Looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the what? Joy was set before him. Who was that joy? We were that joy. He endured the cross, despised the shame, the suffering that he experienced, being crucified on Calvary. And when we think about our raggedy selves, the fact that a holy God would send his son to die for us, who am I that he would die for me, that he would leave the comfort of heaven and the presence of God the Father, sharing each other's glory, to take on flesh and live a life of 33 years on this earth, to feel what I feel, to go through what I go through, and then end up crucified on the cross, being whipped, being beat to an unrecognizable death. But how many know you were on his mind? Can't nobody love you like that. Amen. Shaquita can't love you like that. Man, that's a love from the foundation of the world. And so that's why we have this living hope. And guess what? He said, I'm going away, but I'm not going to leave the comforter. I'm going to send one that's going to testify of me. And that's the Holy Ghost. That's the Holy Spirit. He now lives in me. He walks with me. He talks with me. Guess what? The greatest thing you have, the greatest thing you are, is the love of Jesus Christ that lives in you through the Holy Spirit. Man, look. Somebody say, you're saved. You got to know you're saved. Man, my grandparents, man, thank God for that house. Everybody came through that house. I think presidents might have came through that house to get some wisdom from my grandfather. Man, you would go through the back of the house, and to the right was a table, right? And then they had an old stove. That stove would percolate and get hot. Uncle Dill had the wood stacked out on the side for my grandfather. And my grandmother would be either sitting on the edge of the couch. She wouldn't sit down. I never seen her sitting down. She would sit on the edge, like the arm of the couch, or she would be in the kitchen. Amen. Now, I ain't trying to take us back. Amen. But she loved the Lord. Amen. And my grandfather would be at the table. He would take his coffee, pour it into his saucer, and sip on the coffee. My grandmother would have his pills and all that stuff laid out. And she could, because she knew who she was in Jesus Christ. Amen. And guess what? When the man is doing what he's supposed to be doing, he's loving Jesus. And he's loving that wife like Christ loved the body of Christ, that he gave his life for him. Guess what? Guess what? Thy wives will be in place. Hey, I'm by, boy, I look. Amen. Because they have to have a love affair with Jesus Christ too. But now we want to pervert the order of the home. The home has been perverted. They say you don't need the father. Amen. We need fathers. Amen. God broke my heart this morning. Although my father is in glory. And whether your father was in your life or not, guess what? The word is my father. You know why? Because his word corrects me. This word whoops me. But at the same time, this word loves on me. It'll keep you warm at night. That's why the Bible says, hide the word in your heart that you might not sin against me. God gave the order for this cause. Shall a man leave his mother and his father, and he shall be what? Joined to his own wife. Amen. Now, if your kids are running around the house and you got a bunch of kids and you say, woman, get my plate. She better look at you and say, you better fix it yourself. But I'm not talking. And listen, and there's an order. And don't get me wrong. Guess what? Man, there's submissiveness. But just because you're the man, that don't mean I wear the pants in this house. I'm the man in this house. No, real men love Jesus Christ. And real men are loving their wives right. And when that man is doing and working what he's, because he better have a job too, and he's doing what he's supposed to do, guess what? The wife will line up. Say amen, man. Amen. That wife will line up. Amen. Because guess what? It'll no longer, she'll be loving you, serving you as she loves Christ. That's what's missing. Well, I got my own job and my own money. Good. But guess what? You still better line up to the word of God. Amen. I better just go somewhere else. Amen. But that's the truth. And you look at the world and these young boys that are out of control and our young girls, gender confusion, not knowing who they are. Fathers, it's time out. Guess what? And guess what? The father is the first one that's going to be held accountable. Amen. God is coming to me first. Y'all say amen. Amen. We've got to line up. And telling you, man, and we can have program after program. Thank God for the new mayor in Philadelphia. We're praying for them. And we can have program and program and program after program. And dump millions and millions into our neighborhoods, into after-school programs. But guess what? If the fathers don't get back in their place, in their home, with their children, amen, God will change the city. We're the strong man of the home. Amen. But guess what, man? And my grandfather, I would hear him. He told another preacher one time. He said, you're saved. He said, just know you're saved. And we got to know, man, we're saved. Amen. And so, really, what I want to talk about this morning is, number one, we can greatly rejoice. Because the Bible says we have this living hope to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away. And guess what? It's reserved in heaven for you. Amen. And that inheritance incorruptible, it can never be broken or ruined. The word that it's undefiled means that it can't be stained or tarnished. The salvation that we have, the Holy Ghost that we have, the hope that we have is not kept by me, by my power. But it's kept by God himself. It's kept by his power and his might. Amen. So I can't even mess it up if you're saved for real. Amen. And then he says, verse 5, we who are kept, that means garrison. by the power of God through the faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So that's what, that first point, I'm going to fix it. It says, in him we greatly rejoice in the reason of the hope. In the reason of the hope, we can greatly rejoice. Amen. Amen. And the Bible says in verse 5, we're kept garrisoned by the power of God through the faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And that's why, man, I thank God, because it's my, and so we got some side points today. I hope I don't confuse y'all. And the side point is, we've got to meditate on this word. We've got to meditate. I'm telling you, we've got to meditate. The Bible says, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is where? In the law of the Lord. And in his law doeth he what? Meditate. Day and night. And what God wants to do, instead of us conforming to the world, he wants to conform us to the image of his son, Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, listen, and listen, this is another point. There's two things that meditation does. Meditation, first of all, it fills me with how much God loved me. I can run around church just on that point right there. It fills me with how much God loves me. When you're meditating, you'll know your love. So there comes our belonging. There comes our validation. We don't have to try to win somebody else through a provocative post on Facebook or Instagram. Man, you got to see it, man. It's a hot mess. People trying to get likes and people to like them through these social media. And don't get me wrong, everything's not awful. Everything ain't bad. But the more I get on there, the more I see. And guess what? The devil wants to keep us under a trance doing this. People can scroll like this for 2 hours straight. And then by 11 o'clock in the morning, their batteries are running dead on their cell phones. Talking about anybody seeing my phone charger. And I told somebody, God is trying to tell you something. God is trying to tell you to stay off that phone. And guess what, y'all? I'm a witness. Amen. We're not just preaching to y'all, but we're preaching to our own selves. I love, first thing I do when I do get on the internet is go on ESPN to see what they're talking about the Dallas Cowboys and the Eagles and see if Alabama beat Georgia. Amen. The Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed. How? By the renewing of our minds. Amen. And so when we talk about the meditation, I gave the first point of meditation. And then the second thing meditation does, it allows us to see the mirror of how we really look. It allows us to see the mirror of how we really look. That's the side points. Amen. And so when he says to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved where? In heaven, kept by God, the power of God, through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed. That's the culmination of our salvation when Jesus Christ comes back. Amen. And then it says, wherein you greatly rejoice. I'm going to be wrapping this up real soon. Wherein you greatly rejoice. Though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. So what Peter is saying here, he said, I know you're going through. I know you're suffering. I know, man, you're going through persecutions. And the Bible says, in this life, you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I've already overcome the world. And sometimes, man, it seems like the bottom of the bottom of the bottom has dropped out from under us. Boy, it seems like we get out of one storm, and then here comes another one. Bam! But he says here, but in this you greatly rejoice. He says you greatly rejoice. And I seen greatly. He didn't just say rejoice in the Lord or just rejoice. He said you greatly rejoice. Although you're going through all of this because of the living hope of Jesus Christ, to know that he's conforming you. And the more he conforms me, the greater he turns up his love in me. See, the problem is when I'm going through the storm, I can't see it. When you're going through the darkness, I can't see it. And you'll be like, Lord, why? Why am I going through this? You call your mama, Janie Wright. And you'll be like, Lord, you, God, I'll be like, Ma, you believe this? You believe these folks? And I ain't talking about church folks. Amen. And the Bible says, think it not strange. See, when you're meditating in the word, you get God's perspective of the storm. Because I'm telling you, his love comes in the middle of the trial, and his love lifts you up so you can see what God is doing in your life. Amen. What he's producing in your life. That he's producing his son and he's bringing you to an end of yourself. I'm telling you, like a ton of bricks. And you'd be like, thank you, Jesus. We have to bring that I won't complain campaign back. And then you'd be like, why was I complaining? Man, sometimes we go all around the world for a whole week talking to everybody, telling them, do you believe what Sister did and this one did? And the persecution that we go through is to build his life in you. Now, there is a suffering, amen, of repentance that leads us to repentance. But there's a suffering that, guess what? You don't even have to do nothing. But it's going to come. Amen? The Bible says, I am the vine and he is the branches, and every branch in me that beareth not fruit, I take it away. But every branch that beareth fruit, I what? Purges it. That it might what? Bring forth much fruit. Amen. Listen, and I know, listen, just write these verses down. Just write them down. Listen, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Listen to this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 says this. For all these things are, 4:15, all these things that abundant. So let me just back up. Verse 11 says, for we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus might be made what? Somebody shout that out. May be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So death works in us. But what? Life. That's the life that the people living in the darkness need to see. Life works in you. We have in the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore I have spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus from the dead shall also by Jesus Christ shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundance of grace might through the thanksgiving of many rebound to the glory of God. And then it says, for this cause we faint not, but though our outward man perishes. The inward man is what? Renewed day by day. For the light affliction, which is but for a moment, That's in the comparison of eternity. Y'all know how long eternity is? From everlasting to everlasting. These lives are temporal. These lives are fading. I'm telling you, I say it all the time. It feels like I just graduated Truman High School. Man, we had a dunk contest in the driveway. Caleb and Joey, they was going at it. And the little brother is catching up. That's all I'm going to say. Man, I started to feel myself stretching. My wife said, what you going to do? Man, I got out there on that driveway, boy. I tried to go up. I don't even think I got to the net. But I did put a move on one of them, amen. I shook him. You know, when you gotta go old school on them. Up and under. But these lives are short. I'm telling you. Listen, camp without Reverend Al Bowman, it seemed like yesterday. Macon, Georgia. And it seemed like time is winding up. It's getting faster and faster and faster. People are leaving here. It's time to get right. It's time to forgive and forget, because only what we do for Jesus through his death and our replacement and submitting to him is going to last. And I'm telling you, his love blows my mind. It blows my mind. Because like the more I'm suffering, the greater his love is. Paul said, most gladly, therefore, will I boast in my infirmities, that the what? Power of Christ might what? Rest upon me. Amen. Because he saw the perspective, and the love of Christ will lift you. Guess what, man? We will put the shrinks out of business. Man, this love of God will put the pill companies out of business. We'll put the Alcoholics Anonymous out of business. Because I never met a love like this. And to know that herein is love. Not that we love God, but God loved us to send his son to be a propitiation for my sins. And to know that perfect fear, guess what? Perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. But guess what? That's why the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 3, Paul said, I prayed for you that you might know this love, the depth, the width, the height. Amen. That this love might fill us and overwhelm us with all the fullness of God, that we might be filled. Somebody say filled. Yes. Filled with the love of Jesus Christ. And I don't know about you, but when I'm filled, man, I ain't got room for nothing else. I'm telling you, he's a chain breaker. He's a shackle breaker. He's the lifter of my head. He's the lily of my valley. He's my way out of no way. He's my hope for tomorrow. He's my everything. When I think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah, to know that he'll walk with you and he'll talk with you and he'll tell you that I'm his own, and the joy that we share as we tarry there, to know that he'll pick you up, turn you around, place your feet on higher ground. Can't nobody do you like Jesus? Can't nobody do you like the Lord? When you know that amazing grace shall always be my song of praise. For it was grace that bought my liberty. For I do not know just why he came. I'm so glad that he looked past my faults. Man, it's a demon-busting love. It's a chain-breaking love. It's a phobia-busting love. It's a depression-busting love. It's an anxiety-busting love. It's an insecurity-busting love. It's an unforgiveness-busting love. Because he overwhelms you and he transforms. You're like, man, this word is good. This word is good. Amen. Ain't nobody like him. I know some people just think I'm crazy, but it's okay. I'll be a fool for Jesus, that his life might live to me, that somebody else will see him in this place. And the last thing, listen, I need like 3 minutes. The last thing I have to share, when he talks about, man, this mirror that's willing to show us, and he says in verse 7 of our text that the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold. This is why I can greatly rejoice in the middle of my suffering. That the trial of my faith being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried in the fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and the glory. He's about creating his glory in my life, that he can bring glory back to himself. Amen. That's my greatest validation. Christ living his life through me at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And I read where, when those blacksmiths, talking about being refined by the fire, being tried by the fire, they would know just how long to keep that ore or that iron in the fire. And they would heat that fire up, because they would look at, now, it's still a little rough looking. It still got some edges. I still can't see my reflection in the piece of metal. And the blacksmith would heat up that iron that he could see his face in that iron. God wants to see his face in me. Hallelujah. Regardless of my big nose, flat nose, my dad used to call me hook crook, nappy head, God sees his reflection in me. God wants to see him. And I heard Reverend Williams last week loud and clear. He said the greatest joy that brings glory back to the Father is when the Father can look at his child and see his son reflection in that child. Amen. And sometimes I get a glimpse. Oh, look at him. Look at him. Amen. When you see your children acting like you, or and I'm not saying they're their own person. Amen. But guess what? Guess what? Guess what? It's about producing Christ's image in your life. I want to look like him. Guess what, y'all? It's time out in community. We got to love one. We got to let some things go. People can't pick and choose what they want to do, and this one don't get along with this one, and that one don't get along with this one. Amen. We've got to work some things out with fear and trembling. How in the world can we sit under the word, preach day in and day out, and just be ugly and do what we want to do? Amen. We've got to conform. Amen. We've got to line up with this word of God. Amen. And the Bible says in Psalms 119:67, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I keep your word. You are great. You do what is good. Teach me your statutes. Though the arrogant have smeared me with lies, I keep your precepts with my heart. For their hearts were callous. And what we do is, when we ignore, and I'm done. I know I went over my time. But when we ignore what God is saying through us, through his word, when he's speaking to you, man, it's like one day I was laying down in the bed, 4:30 in the morning. It's like the Lord was over my bed. He had a big old mirror. And he replayed the tape. He can replay the tape and show you what you look like. And then he showed me the storm or the test that I went through. And when I was in the test, I didn't see it. I didn't see it. But in retrospect, when I look back over my life and I see the things that God, nobody knows what you've been through. You can search the world and nobody can find what you've been through. They can't, even people losing a loved one. There's a pain that can be wrought in the heart But guess what? I'm so grateful. And this is why we can greatly rejoice, because Jesus knows. He's a man of sorrows. He's acquainted with grief. But more importantly, his correction was there. His conviction was there. And I can ignore it all I want to. I can ignore it. And when we ignore stuff, even in the church, when we ignore what God is trying to tell us, guess what? We develop a callous and a hard heart. Yes, yes. Amen. Thank God for the rod of correction. Where would we be without correction? And guess what? Nobody wants to be corrected anymore. Nobody wants to be told anything. We've got to humble ourselves and receive instruction and correction. And my greatest correction comes through the Word of God. And when I'm in this Word of God and I know who I am, guess what? I'll line up and I don't have to give my boss any lip. Amen. Some of us, our heads are like a rock, but God's got to break it. And the harder the head, the greater the fall. We've got to learn how to be corrected. And I'm telling y'all, I went through something. When David said, I acknowledge my sin unto thee. He said, for night and day, your drought, it was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of the summer. I acknowledge my sin and mine iniquity have I not hid. And then he said, I will confess my transgressions, Psalms 32, verse 5, to the Lord, and he forgave us me. Thank God. Man, when he showed me that mirror, and he showed me what I look like, man, I had to get on my knees and cry out, Jesus, help me. And confess and repent unto him that his love, and guess what, y'all, that's the greatest love affair. That's the greatest joy. It's like I got a whole worship team in my office at home. When he shows me and he loves me enough to correct me. And then in verse 6 in Psalm 32, he says, for this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou may be found. I'm closing the book. He said, this, as we stand to our feet, should everyone pray this prayer at a time where God may be found. God is speaking. And when you can line up and allow the word, and basically it's the word cutting me. The word is quick, sharp, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, rightly dividing asunder the soul and the spirit. And it is a discerner of the very intents of my heart. Man, the word has to cut. It has to expose. And I'm telling you, listen, there's no place that can love you. There's no person that can love me. The God says, whom I love, I chastise. And when God delivered me through that conviction and then my confession, man, I made a note permanently to myself that I can remember from whence God has brought me from. Nobody but you, Lord. Nobody but you. Nobody but you. Nobody but you. When I was in trouble, you brought me over. Nobody but you, Lord. Nobody but you. Keep on singing. If there's somebody here that you don't know this love of Jesus Christ, I bid you come that you might accept him into your heart. He's knocking. He's speaking. Regardless of what you're going through, if you want to know Jesus Christ in the pardon of your sins, you can come. Don't worry about who's looking. You can come right now and accept him into your heart. Is there one? Is there one? Is there one? Is there one? Is there somebody like would like to rededicate their life back to Jesus Christ? He said, I'm married to the backslider. And you can come and rededicate your life to Jesus Christ. Is there one? Is there one? Is there one? Amen. Not my mother, Lord. Nobody.